versus Christian A. Mendoza-Batista. Is it Mr. Works?
Yes, Your Honor.
Good morning to you.
Good morning to you, sir.
You may proceed.
Thank you. May it please the Court, Matt Works, Deputy Hall County Public Defender, here on behalf of the appellant, Christian Mendoza-Batista. Mr. Batista's case is here this morning on an appeal from a ruling from the County Court and then District Court of Hall County stating that a conviction that he received under Nebraska Revised Statute 64108 was a subsequent offense and thus punishable by harsher penalties than we believe is appropriate. The facts are not in question. I don't believe anyone has any disagreement as to what happened. Mr. Mendoza-Batista was convicted of driving during suspension under Section 1 of that statute, which states that it's unlawful for him to operate a motor vehicle during a period of time that his license has been impounded. That's the facts of that case. That's exactly what happened.
Was he convicted of suspension or revocation?
I believe, Your Honor, he had been suspended. That's my understanding. For the purpose of this, I'm not sure that it makes
but he's convicted under one.
Yes, he was convicted under the first aspect of the statute. And then the court went on to the second part of that first section, which involves enhancement of that statute, where they allow for any prior convictions under that statute for any such offense, that's the language of the law, for a second or third such offense or a fourth or subsequent such offense, it will be a harsher penalty. Most notably, a loss of his license not for the year that the first aspect of that statute contemplates, but rather for 2 years. That's what we're talking about, is a difference between 1 and 2 year loss of license. Now, the issue we have with this is that the enhancement was done using two convictions, prior convictions that nobody argues about. They were prior convictions, but they were prior convictions under Section 2 of that statute, which penalizes operating a motor vehicle during a period of time that you are suspended, after you've been suspended, but prior to return of your license. The issue being, you were suspended, you didn't drive, your suspension was lifted, but you haven't bothered to go back to the DMV and get your license back. If you don't do that and you drive and you get arrested for that, you're punishable under Section 2 of that statute. Under Section 2, it's a punishment of a loss of license for 1 year and a $100 fine, basically, unless you get your license back. If you get your license back, it's just a $100 fine, no suspension. It's a much lesser penalty under Section 2, and Section 2 has no contemplation of any sort of enhancement with regard to that.
Does Section 1 use the word suspension anywhere?
Section 1, I believe, states that... I apologize, Your Honor.
Doesn't it just use the word revoke or impound?
I would say that it appears that it does, Your Honor. I believe, though, it contemplates any sort of suspension. And, in fact, I believe that's the title is driving during suspension. I don't believe that under the certain the way that the impoundment operates, no one revokes or impounds anymore. Everyone just suspends. And that's just under the statute. That's what everyone does as far as...
So is there a difference between a revocation and a suspension?
I believe, Your Honor, effectively no. At one point there may have been where the license wasn't actually yanked from the client and taken by the DMV, but instead was held by the clerk's office in the courthouse. The effect was the same. They couldn't drive for a year, but instead of having to pay the reinstatement fee and similar aspects like that, they could just go back once their revocation was over. For all practical matters, that's no longer the case. The clerk's office doesn't keep track of licenses anymore like that. You get picked up for driving during suspension, as the title of it, driving during suspension or driving during revocation, you're going to lose your license to the DMV for a year.
Counsel, as I understand the state's argument about enhancement here, is that what they're suggesting is that we look to the circumstances of the sub-2 prior conviction. And if those circumstances fit within the sub-1 definition of the sub-1 crime, that the state is arguing that constitutes a prior offense for purposes of sub-1. Is that the way you understand their argument?
I guess I confess, Your Honor, I don't understand their argument as far as that goes. If that's their argument, I would state that it's a completely separate and distinct charge. There's a completely separate and distinct crime, in fact, between Section 1 and Section 2. Section 1 contemplates somebody who is currently suspended, currently impounded, driving their car, as opposed to Section 2, which says you're not suspended, you're not impounded, but you don't have your license back and you had been suspended prior to this.
Are there circumstances under which one can be convicted under subsection 2, but that those circumstances would not qualify under subsection 1? In other words, wouldn't be unlawful under subsection 1?
If I understand your question correctly, Your Honor, what you're saying is, at any time could you be guilty of subsection 2, which is driving during suspension before return of your license, as opposed to subsection 1? And the answer is yes. If you are not currently suspended, but it's following a period that you had been suspended, you're not guilty of section 1. They cannot prove that, and you won't get a conviction for
so
that.
So is any of that in the record? Do we know the factual situation?
I believe that's in the record, Your Honor, that shows that, in fact, the convictions were for offenses occurring under subsection 2 of 64108. I don't believe that's in dispute. Everyone agrees that that's what they are using to enhance.
But do we know the factual basis concerning those two earlier convictions?
I'm not sure that we do, and I'm not sure
How would the record come to show that? Would you have like a little trial within the trial, like a little collateral attack on those twos?
Your Honor, I don't believe it would be appropriate, and I don't believe that in that instance there'd be anything to show. It's, I guess, the only circumstances where you might have been convicted of something under subsection 2, but were in fact guilty under subsection 1 would be some sort of a plea agreement or some sort of a mischarge by the state. It is a separate offense. If you are guilty under subsection 1, you cannot be found guilty under subsection 2 either, because subsection 1 requires that you be currently suspended. Subsection 2 requires that you not be suspended at the time.
So your argument, in your view, you can establish what you seek to establish by statutory language.
I would argue that, yes, Your Honor.
Thank you.
So, do you think the statute, you may have answered this already, is the statute ambiguous at all? Can we go back and look at the history of the statute?
Your Honor, reading the statute for myself, I don't think it's ambiguous at all. I read it, subsection 1 contemplates driving during suspension while ineligible, while not being able to get your license back. It then goes on to discuss penalties for subsequent such offenses. And after it gets done discussing all of that, it goes to a completely separate crime, which is what they're trying to use to enhance that first section, which is the driving during suspension while eligible. I'll reserve the rest unless there are further questions.
Thank you very much. Mr. Love, good morning.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court.
George Love on behalf of the appellee, the state of Nebraska, in this matter. I really don't have a great deal to offer more than what I said in the brief, except perhaps to point to the district court's order and statutory analysis that the clause in Section 1 of the subject statute authorizes the court to enhance the penalty when a person is subject to a court order not to operate any motor vehicle. That very, very broad language certainly would encompass any actions in subsection 2.
Well, does subsection 1 use the word suspension?
No, it says that he or she is subject to a court order not to operate any motor vehicle for any purpose. Okay, that clause would encompass every possible scenario under subsection 2.
Therefore, it is applicable. Isn't there further language beyond that?
Pardon me?
Isn't there further language to subsection 1 beyond that?
There is a disjunctive in there, or during any period that his operator's license has been revoked or impounded. That is not what I'm pointing to. What I'm pointing to, whether it's revoked or impounded, I agree with my colleagues, it's semantics. It doesn't mean anything anymore. Suspended, revoked, impounded, tacked to the wall, it's all the same.
Does it get impounded in an ALR event?
That would be an ALR purpose, but my point being, Your Honor, is that first clause or that opening sentence of subsection 1 with the disjunctive after it encompasses every possible scenario that you can do in subsection 2. It is enhanceable.
It says subject to a court order.
Right.
Do we know if the
subject
suspensions
to a court order,
were from a court order?
Motor vehicle. Pardon me?
Do we know if the suspensions in this case, the two that were used to enhance, are from a court order?
We know that the...
Can you be suspended without a court order?
Yes, by the director.
So do we know in this case the language that you are talking about talks about court orders?
The only thing I can point to is the district court's analysis wherein it said that in the two particular cases used to enhance it in the discussion, that it appears Mr. Batista was under a court order but had not had his, and that's an inference, but
what
had
I,
not had his license reinstated. Those were the two priors. That's what
well,
I get
I'm
out
I'm looking
of the,
at Judge Wright's order, and it says, while there is no specific directive per se in case CP 13-2082 that the defendant not drive.
Right. But
wouldn't that imply there's no order?
I don't read it that way, Your Honor, because if you turn the page on that, it says the driving under suspension before reinstatement. In other words, I take it there is a court order in place. And the second thing is if the enhancement was improper, in other words, there was no court order, that should be the challenge. I don't know that you even need to get there. The question before this court is an offense under Section 2, can that prior conviction be used to enhance under 1? If the prior conviction is introduced into evidence and meets the standards for a prior conviction, i.e. counsel or a knowing voluntary waiver, so on and so forth, then it can be used to enhance under 1 under that section, subject to a court order not to operate any motor vehicle for any purpose.
So without
that would be established.
Without exploration of the facts
that's
that
correct.
Gave
it
rise
matter.
To the two.
It but you agree there has to be a court order?
Yes. Yeah. I think there has to be something in the record to show that he's subject to that. Okay. In other words, the prior enhancement would show that his license is suspended for a year from January 1st to December 31st of this year.
By court order.
If he's caught driving.
If the department suspended, that wouldn't qualify, would it?
But that's it. Yes, it would. By any order of any court or by any administrative order of the director under subsection 1.
But does that modify revocation or impoundment?
No, because they're in the disjunctive. This circumstance.
So, to go back to what I asked your opponent, as I understand your argument, you're looking to the circumstances of the sub 2 prior conviction, and if those circumstances fit within the defining language of subsection 1, then you're advocating that that constitutes a prior offense for purposes of subsection 1.
Yes,
do I understand your argument correctly?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Do you think this statute is ambiguous at all? Can the court look at legislative history?
I think it's a disaster. I'm sorry, but it is. Yes, it is, Your Honor, just to be blunt. It is. I think you can get to it. There are no further questions. I would ask that you affirm the order of the district court, and thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal?
We have a
minute. A minute and 31 seconds, Mr. Works.
Thank you, Your Honor. I will be brief. Your Honor, if we're looking at whether or not the convictions under Section 2 qualify under Section 1, I think on the face they don't. You can only be convicted under Section 2 if they are during a period that you're, I'm sorry, excuse me, Your Honor, during any period that your license has been suspended after the period of revocation but before issuance of the license. That's in Section 2. That's the language it uses. So by its definition, the period that the court has said or the department has said you can't drive, that's got to be over. The court order has got to have expired as far as that goes. They just haven't gotten their license back yet. That's the only way they can be convicted under Section 2 of that statute. And that's why it can't be used to enhance under Section 1. Consequently, we would ask the court to overturn the ruling of the lower courts here. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next case of the day is Maia versus Chapman. Mr. Brower.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Good morning to you. Let's give everybody a moment to get in and out of the courtroom and get things settled. And I think that has now.